This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. An unconventional beginning to this hour. Think, we may just look back on this year, a few decades on, not as the year somebody or another was elected president. Who are you for, by the way? Somebody or is it another? Never mind. 2012 may not be remembered as a historic moment for the euro or the exploding financial system or for this song. No, the year 2012 may just be remembered as the year we actually entered something like The Matrix.
Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
The Matrix, you know, where human organs and tissue are grown and harvested as a matter of medical necessity. The research is already underway in little, very special mice.
The mice that are used for these types of studies are special mice that don't have immune systems of their own. So that's critical, so that they won't reject cells from a person.
That's Dr. Megan Sykes from Columbia University, who is part of a project to use specialized tissue-growing mice to create test animals for all kinds of medical treatment possibilities. We'll speak with Dr. Sykes a bit more in a moment, but first, think about it. Mice with their immune systems stripped away that can then be whatever researchers want them to be? You might say these mice are real-life little Frankenweenies.
The nervous system is just wires and cables.
Even after death, the muscles respond to electricity.
The whole matter takes a science fiction idea, the creation of and manipulation of life.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
And it constructs a practical therapy that could deliver real, tangible medical benefits, allowing a human tumor, for instance, to grow in a mouse avatar for the testing of treatments, literally growing human tissue for transplantation. But with such advances in medicine come the jitters and anxiety over the creation of monsters.
Give my creation life!
Nevertheless, it seems this approach to developing therapies for everything from diabetes to cancer and more, it seems this approach is here to stay. Dr. Megan Sykes says avatar mice already are on the front lines of cancer research.
There are different types of what we call humanized mice. You mentioned tumors. So one use for these types of mice is to put human tumors into them. And because there's no immune system in the mouse, the human tumor will grow. And those are being used, that type of model is being used to test drug therapies. But the other way that they can be used is what we've been doing, which is to create from scratch a human immune system in these mice that have no immune systems of their own. And we do it by starting with a stem cell of the human, a bone marrow stem cell, that has the ability to create all the different cells of the immune system. And so we put those cells into the mouse along with some tissue called the thymus that helps the T lymphocytes of the immune system to grow. And what we end up with is a complete immune system coming from those bone marrow stem cells from that individual patient.
So in theory, you can test out what you're allergic to on the mouse.
In theory, you could, yes. And in fact, what we're doing with it right now is using it to better understand an autoimmune disease, type 1 diabetes. And this could be applied to any autoimmune disease or immunodeficiency disease or allergic disease, as you say. Because the problem is, when you have a patient who has an immunological disease, like the ones I mentioned, they already have the disease and they're being treated and they've had it for different lengths of time and the immune system's gone awry and you don't know what's cause and effect. What we're able to do with these mice is go back to the beginning when they don't have disease. We take the bone marrow stem cell and we recreate the immune system from scratch in these mice. And now we can ask, what is fundamentally wrong with this immune system that drives the disease, that predisposes to disease? We know a lot now from genetic studies that have been done on large populations what genes predispose to, say, type 1 diabetes and other autoimmune diseases. We know where those genes are, but we don't know what they're doing to the immune system.
You don't know what the trigger is that causes the immune system to sort of go haywire.
Right, and we don't know what's fundamentally different about that patient's immune system that is driven by those genes. And what by creating that immune system from scratch, we can look at what's fundamentally different about that immune system before any disease has developed.
We're talking with Dr. Megan Sykes, who's a researcher at Columbia University, who's working with mice that contain humanized immune systems, mice that are also able to grow human or tumor tissue for study. Now, I gather there's a little Megan mouse up there in your lab. Is that the case?
Well, there was. We've studied that mouse now, so the mouse is no longer with us.
But what's that like? I mean, you basically create a mouse that is, in a sense, a mirror of your own immune system.
A mirror, but actually more than a mirror. I named that mouse Mini-Me because it was a younger version of me. And that was what was really exciting. So we didn't transfer my immune system to the mouse. We transferred my bone marrow stem cells to the mouse, and then the mouse made my immune system from scratch.
The way a fetus would do or a baby would do.
Exactly. And so when we looked at those lymphocytes in that mouse and compared them to my lymphocytes from me that same day, we functioned pretty much the same in that we knew that my antigens were self and somebody else's antigens were non-self. But those immune cells in my mouse were clearly much younger. You could tell by the markers on their cell surface. And that was very exciting. It's a rejuvenated immune system, which suggests a lot of interesting therapeutic possibilities.
And the mouse was younger because it listened to 80s music as you did when you were younger. Sure, yeah, all the clues were there. So this is a little bit like crossing the Rubicon of, say, transplantation or the kinds of sort of conceptual changes that had to happen for people to embrace vaccination, where you'd actually put a disease in yourself to trigger your immune system. What's it like? What do you think the threshold is here of doing research in a fundamentally different way, having animal avatars for human tissue or human immune systems?
Well, I think it opens up a lot of really exciting possibilities because we have so many new immune therapies that are being explored in transplantation and autoimmune diseases, but you can't ethically do all kinds of experiments on patients. Now what we can do with these humanized mice is do the experiment on the immune system of the patient without affecting the patient, him or herself. And this is really a very exciting new way to improve therapies.
Mice must be thrilled to have evolved to the point where they can be manipulated in this way. I mean, they're, as a species, to basically acquire another species to study disease, basically to farm on an agricultural basis tumor tissue is a pretty amazing moment in the history of the earth, it seems to me.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And we're actually thinking beyond that to the next step, which would be to use the mice to produce the human immune cells and manipulate them in a way that they could be given back to the individual patient to treat a disease.
Dr. Megan Sykes is a researcher at Columbia University working with personalized immune mice avatars to fight diabetes. She has her own, as she calls it, Minnie Mouse. This is The Takeaway. Joining us on the line now is Dr. Paul Haluska at the Mayo Clinic Cancer Center in Rochester, Minnesota. Dr. Haluska, welcome to The Takeaway, and tell us how you are using these mice avatars.
Yes. Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. So we are using our mouse avatars for essentially developing novel therapies for ovarian cancer patients. So we've been pretty disappointed, I think, with the way that the old drug development mechanisms have worked. You know, we basically do a trial in all ovarian cancer patients, and maybe a new drug works in a few, and then that's not enough for it to get the drug approved, and we end up throwing the drug away. But our approach is saying, well, what about those few patients that responded? Why did they respond? And we believe our avatars are going to help us figure that out and hopefully direct individualized therapy to those patients.
Dr. Haluska, is this a way with early detection that a patient's cancer tissue could be transplanted into a mouse and there could be all kinds of work done to determine the exact regime of chemo that works best before the patient gets involved without threatening the patient and without going through the horrors of chemo and radiation?
Yeah, that's a good question. That would be great if we could do that. I think for that to happen, we have to find better ways to detect the cancer first. Unfortunately, most of our patients with ovarian cancer have their cancer detected late. So by the time we even get a clue that they have cancer, it's usually very much spread. So that would be great. And yes, that potentially could happen if we could find it at that very early stage.
Can you archive cancer tissue in these poor mice? I actually find myself feeling sorry for them.
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, that is key to our whole program, is the ability to viably freeze this tissue in a way that we can bring it up later. Because you can imagine, at this point, we have probably over 220 patients that we've actually injected tissue from. And from them, we have, maybe 10 mice that have bore tumor from all those patients. So you can imagine thousands of mice might be a little bit hard to manage. So to make this really work, we have to be able to freeze the tissue and then at a later time in the future, bring it out again and put it back into mice to grow them, because we can't do, 2,000 experiments at one time.
Before we go, is this a way around the problems of human testing for drug companies? And is that a problem?
Absolutely. I think that's what we think is one of our main marketing sort of pitches, if you will, is that instead of doing the trial like I alluded to in the beginning, 100 patient trial and maybe it works in three, well, we can do a 100 avatar trial with the new drug and find out what the characteristics are of those responders. And then when we actually go to the clinical trial, look for those characteristics molecularly in the patients. Mm-hmm. To increase our yield and chance for success with the new drug.
Dr. Paul Haluska is a researcher at the Mayo Clinic Cancer Center in Rochester, Minnesota. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Earlier we spoke with Dr. Megan Sykes, a professor of microbiology and immunology at Columbia University. What do you think about this mouse avatar business? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.